Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q2 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So good evening and welcome everyone to this earnings call. This is our first presentation since our listing. I'm joined in this room by the senior management team of Aditya Birla Capital. The format that we want to follow is I'll talk through the numbers and the results for about half an hour. Since this is the first call, I'll probably take some time going through each of our businesses and giving you a bit of a flavor of each of our businesses, and then we'll open it up to questions from all of you. So let me first start with slide number three, which I hope you have in front of you. Slide number three is the structure of our business. This reflects that Aditya Birla Capital is a holding company, and it shows you all the underlying businesses that we have under Aditya Birla Capital. So if I start on the left-hand side, we have 100% in our NBFC, 100% in our housing finance business. Then we have three joint venture companies, a joint venture with Aditya Birla with Sun Life in life insurance, a joint venture with Sun Life in our asset management business, a joint venture with MMI in our health insurance business. And then on the right-hand side, we have a 75% holding in our broking business, a 50% holding in our insurance advisory business, 100% in private equity, 93.7% in our online money management business, and 100% in our ARC. The only business I've not shown here, which is an operational business just started recently, is our pension business. That's a subsidiary of Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Because we're not showing drop-down subsidiaries here, we've not shown that. But that's an operating business. I thought I should just bring that to your notice. So that's really the structure of the group, the holding company Aditya Birla Capital, which is listed, a CIC, and all the underlying businesses with our shareholding in that. If I move on to slide four, I think while the structure I've described on slide three is a set of different legal entities and describes the legal structure, we actually derive a lot of value from being integrated in the way we operate. And it's our view that this integrated approach benefits shareholders, employees, and customers equally. So some of the things that we've launched and I want to walk you through, which give you a sense of what this integration is and the benefit of this integration, is set out on slide four. So the first thing you've probably seen around the city is the launch of our single brand, Aditya Birla Capital. We believe that this is a brand that we want to launch, which is a single brand that people can trust and look for holistic understanding and provision of all their money needs. So all our businesses are folded under the single brand, Aditya Birla Capital. We've also launched a single website where any customer can come, discover, purchase and get serviced for all their money needs for protecting, investing and financing. So we have the ability to get access to all our underlying businesses through a single website. Again, for the first time that this industry has seen that. We had 11 or 12 call centers in our business. We've now integrated all of that under a single call center with a single number. So all our customers have the ability to call a single phone number and get served, which again makes it much easier for our customers and much easier for us to build longer term and broader relationships with our customers. We have for the first time created a single login ID for all our customers. So our customer can use a single login ID across our platform and can transact across any one of our businesses with that single ID, a first of its kind in the industry. We've also launched a single view of money. So anybody who has multiple relationships with us, so maybe has two or more products with our business, can get a single view of their relationship with us on the website. Again, I don't think there's anybody who's done this across a number of businesses, and we've been able to put that through. Live on our website if you want to go and check. And finally, we've leveraged all our branches. We have over 700 branches. Typically, branches tend to be single product branches. We've leveraged each of these branches so that they become service points for all our customers. So this becomes a one-point access for information on all our products for any customer in any one of these locations. And we've done this by creating an e-corner at all our branches. So all our branches have a hotline that goes into this common call center, has brochures on all our products, and many of our branches have a kiosk which has a connection to our web page, which allows customers to browse and serve themselves as they come into these branches. So all of these things we believe will really create traction and allow us therefore to deepen our relationships with our customers. If I move to slide five, I think one of the benefits of being integrated is that we have a product portfolio that has the ability to cover all the money needs of our customer from cradle to grave. And this allows us to be a universal solutions provider. The big benefit from an economic perspective is that this is an opportunity for us to build long-term relationships with our customers, get greater share of wallet, and build more long-term and sticky relationships with our customers. One of the things we did as we launched our brand and launched our new look is we did a whole host of research to understand how customers think about our products. So while the industry typically talks about products in the terms of life insurance or mutual funds or home loans, the customers don't think in those terms. Customers think in terms of protecting themselves, investing money that they have, or financing any dream that they may have and they're looking for money for. So we've changed the whole discourse and our direction discussion with customers. So now we're talking about protecting, investing, and financing. And each one of our products are really supporting to each of these three pillars so that our customer can meet their basic needs through all the financial products that we have. Now move on to slide 6. I want to talk about 5 key milestones that we've hit in this quarter. The first milestone is obviously the launch of our universal brand, Aditya Birla Capital. We believe this is a single brand that can meet any customer's money needs across their lifetime, as I just described. The second big milestone I'd like to talk about is the declaration of our MCEV this quarter. For our life insurance business, we've declared our market-consistent embedded value. This is for March 31st, 2017, at 3,810 crores. This is, by the way, 11% more than the traditional EV methodology, which yielded an EV of 3,428 crores as of March 31st, 2017. Again, I'm just clarifying, these are March 31st, 2017 numbers, not September 30th, 2017 numbers. We will do the same exercise again on March 31st, 2018. The third milestone I want to share with you is that we've hit the highest ever domestic AUM market share at 10.7% and the highest ever equity market share at 9% in our mutual fund business. A tremendous traction in this business, as I will walk you through in a couple of slides. The fourth milestone I want to share for this quarter is that our lending book achieved its highest ever amount. So we've hit the highest ever quantum in our lending book this quarter. Along with that, we've seen our long-term issuer rating being upgraded to AAA for both our NBFC and our housing finance business. This was upgraded by India Ratings recently. So that was the fourth milestone I wanted to talk about. Again, this business has had tremendous traction, and I'll walk you through the details in a couple of slides. And fifth, we received the in-principle approval from the RBI to set up our asset reconstruction company this quarter. So that really sums up 5 big events that have happened for us over this quarter. If I look at the aggregate numbers set out on slide 7, these are consolidated earnings and key metrics for at Aditya Birla Capital level. Our revenue year-on-year at the end of Q2 grew by 14%. Our earnings before tax Q2 FY18 over Q2 17 was up 22%. Our lending book grew a strong 40% Q2 17 to Q2 18. And our assets under management, and I'm here including the assets under management of our life insurance business, health insurance business, private equity, and of course our mutual fund business all put together, grew by 30% Q2 17 to Q2 18. Just one number I want to add to what is already on this slide, and that is if we exclude the investment we're making in some of our new businesses. And you can see the detail on slide number 40. So some of the new businesses we're seeding, like health insurance, for instance, if we exclude the losses of that, which are included in the numbers in our earnings before tax, our Q-on-Q growth in profit, our year-on-year growth in profit from Q2 17 to Q2 18 actually grows to 30%, and this, it's roughly the same number for HY 17 over HY 18. So actually, there's a tremendous amount of traction in our underlying established businesses that I want to talk to you about, and we are seeding several new businesses that we think will be drivers of growth going forward. As again, I will talk to you some of those details as we go through. So let me now take you through each large business in some detail. Since this is the first time we're doing this, I'm actually going to give you data back from FY14. This should allow you to give you a sense of trends over a slightly longer term, allow you to figure out, you know, how these numbers are moving over a long-term period of time. We don't intend to replicate this every time, but I think it'll be useful for you this one time to see the numbers from FY14. So let me start with our NBFC, and I want to draw your attention to slide number 10. I want to start with our NBFC. So this is not housing, just the NBFC as an entity by itself. So the table here gives you key metrics for the NBFC from FY14 to Q2 of FY18. I want to call out three numbers on this chart. Our lending book has grown Q2 18 over Q2 17 by 34%. So very good traction in the growth of our lending book. And our earnings before tax, again, have grown by a very significant 26% Q2 18 over Q2 17. The third thing I wanted to draw your attention to in this table is a row that talks about other provisions, including contingency provisions. Because what we are doing is, although not required by RBI or regulation, we are actually creating contingency provisions for some of the loans and some of our segments that we operate under, because we think this is a good practice to do when we have the ability to create some ability to create contingency against these products. So that, as you can see, 17 crores at the end of Q2 FY18, which has made the net number of earnings before tax a 26% growth number. Net worth for this business at the end of Q2 FY18, 5,593 crores. Let me now move on to slide number 11, which is a slide that shows the mix of our products and customers. As you can see, just first glance, as you look at this slide, you realize that we are very diversified in the way we are structured. That is by design. By design, we believe that risk mitigation is best met by being diversified across products and customers. And that's what we've done. That's the journey we started out on. And in fact, this is something we've done from the time we started out. So you see a very diversified book. We have large corporates, mid corporates, roughly accounting for about half the book. And the other half of the book accounted for by retail, SME, promoters, ultra-high net worth individuals, and what we call others. So it's a very diversified book. Our book is largely secured. I think as we've mentioned in the past, a large part of our book is secured. We are very small in the unsecured space. 95% of our project loans that we show on this chart are to operating projects, so they're not greenfield projects. Therefore, we don't have any exposure to project risk as such. And we have zero NPA in our large corporate segment, which again, we just want to draw and point your attention to. Let me now move on to slide number 12. Slide number 12 is really, again, some more highlights about our NBFC. We are today amongst the top five private diversified NBFCs in terms of loan book operating in this country. I talked to you already about our upgrade to AAA by India Rating. I think that reflects both our strong parentage and the sound credit profile of the business that we've built. We continue to have a very well-balanced ALM profile, well within the prescribed regulatory norms under which we have to operate. We're looking to expand our geographic presence so that we can drive granular growth going forward. We're targeting to add another 33 branches here so that we'll have about 72 branches by March 2018 so that we can further penetrate Tier 2, Tier 3 geographies, build our SME book, and build our retail book. Our equity capital infusion is about 250 crores that we've just put in to be able to fund the growth of this business. I want to call out two numbers here again in terms of, if you look on the table at the bottom, which will show you an ROA of 1.91% for Q2 FY18 compared to 2.16% for Q2 FY17. I really want to draw your attention to two reasons why the ROA is slightly lower than what it was last quarter. And the reason for that is investment in digital. We're building significant digital capabilities at Aditya Birla Finance, and therefore there's an investment in that, plus the contingency provisions I referred to earlier. I talked to you about out of abundant caution, we want to create some contingency provisions in our book. If we adjust for those two, our RONW actually goes up by almost 1.5% and our ROA crosses the 2.1% mark. So, roughly brings back to the range that we want to be in. We expect that we will trend back to those numbers over a period of time. If I move now to slide number 13, I just want to end the NBFC presentation with a few more metrics. Top left, if you look at our NPA profile, gross NPA, net NPA, you'll see as the RBI regulations have tightened from 150 days to 120 days to 90 days, and we've moved along with that, you'll actually see our gross NPA and net NPA numbers moving down. So from a gross NPA number of 0.9% Q2 16, we're now at 0.353% with a net NPA of 0.3%. With the kind of growth we've had, we are very pleased with this risk profile. It just tells us that our credit management process and our risk processes actually work reasonably well. If you look at our borrowing mix, which is at the bottom left part of this slide, you'll see again, like on the asset side, we believe that to build a broad-based, diversified liability profile is a big advantage and a risk mitigant for us in this business. So we have a multiple sources of both products and borrowers that we leverage. And if you look at the bottom right-hand side, the chart, you'll see that actually over a period of time, over the last 8 quarters, our borrowing cost has come down considerably and continuously from 9.17% in Q2 FY16 to 7.84% in Q2 of FY18. So significant reduction in our borrowing cost over this period of time that has obviously helped us build our business. Let me move now to slide 15 and talk about our housing finance business. This is a business we started out in October 14, so relatively new business, but has built tremendous scale in a very short period of time. If you look at the lending book, for instance, we have doubled our lending book between Q2 FY17 and Q2 FY18. Our lending book as at the end of second quarter was 5,777 crores, so a fairly significant number for a business that started out only in October 2014. We have declared a profit before tax in this business in Q2 FY18. We were losing money in Q2 FY17, so clearly we've seen a move from losing money to making money in a short period of time. And this business has a net worth as at the end of Q2 FY18 of 639 crores. Just to get you some more detail on the HFC on slide 16, this is a business that's turned profitable within 7 quarters of operation. That's quite a feat in this business where, as you know, it's a competitive business and building scale, you know, often takes time. To build profitable scale in 7 quarters, we think is a creditable outcome. In June 17, we've actually launched affordable housing in the market. This allows us to tap the smaller cities in India, so tier 2, tier 3 cities, you know, much smaller ticket sizes, all of which we expect to do over the course of the, you know, of the future as we build this business. If you look at the traction we've built in the business so far over the last 6 quarters, our loan book has tripled and the number of accounts has increased by 4 times. So as you can see, therefore, by definition, the ticket size has actually been coming down over the period of time that we've been operational. In Q2 of FY18, we had the highest ever quarterly disbursements in this business, 1,180 crores, as reflected on the right-hand side chart on slide 16. We currently have 42 branches in our HFC, and we work through over 2,000 channel partners in this business. Slide 17 gives you some more detail on the HFC business. Again, as I said, we've been upgraded to AAA by India Ratings. We've been focusing on building direct sourcing in this business to the extent possible. We today have about 44% of our business that is sourced directly rather than coming through an intermediary. We're looking to increase our footprint in this business. We're looking to add another 8 branches so that we get to about 50 branches by March 2018. And just as in the NBFC, the growth of this business has required capital, and we've injected another 250 crores of capital into this business, you know, to fund its growth. The quality of this book, again, continues to be very strong. As you see in the table on the right-hand side of slide 17, gross NPA of 0.4% and net NPA of 0.35% indicate a very good quality book that we're actually building out. We've indicated before, and I should just reiterate at this stage, that we believe that we should be able to get to about 1.3-1.4% ROA and about 13-14% ROE 5 years from the inception of the business, which, as I said, was October 2014 when we started this business. So we think we're on track to be able to do that. Slide 18 gives you some more metrics on the HFC. The top left shows you the mix, the portfolio mix. So we have home loans, 59% home loans, 30% loan against property, about 12% of construction finance. Now, directionally, we think construction finance will increase. That 12%, our target is to get that to about 20%. We think that does well for us in terms of sourcing, you know, new home loans for us as we work through with these developers. Also helps our margins. So from both perspectives, it works to have that increase in the portfolio mix. Geographic mix, if you look at the top right corner, the pie chart, again, you see our mix is completely diversified. So we source loans across the length and breadth of this country, which I think, again, works for us from a risk management perspective. Slide 20, I want to talk now about our asset management company. We've had an absolutely spectacular quarter in our asset management company, as these numbers would suggest. We've seen a very strong growth in our domestic AUM. We've grown 33%. Our domestic average assets under management has grown 33% Q2 18 over Q2 17, largely driven by a 68% growth in our domestic equity AUM. So if I can just repeat that, a 68% growth in our equity AUM, which is fueled basically a 33% growth in our total AUM, and overall has led to a 44% growth in our earnings before tax. So a very strong number coming through, and I'll walk you through some more detail on our asset management company. But the last line of this table is equally interesting to me and something that tells you the sustainability and the future potential of this business, which is the market share of SIPs. If you look at this chart, in FY14, we had an 8.26% market share of SIPs. That has now grown to 13.67% in Q2 of FY18. So the ability for us to be able to get small ticket, regular savings coming in from small parts of India, I think is a very strong commentary on how far the mutual fund story is spread out in India and the sustainability of the flows that we are all seeing in the industry today. If I now move to slide number 21, some more details on our asset management company. We are today the fourth largest in India with the highest ever AUM market share, 10.7%. This is our all-time high in terms of market share. We are now ranked number 4 in equity AUM with again our highest ever market share of 9%. The previous year our market share was 8%. We are now at 9%. Again, this is an all-time high for us. The industry equity AUM has grown by 49%. And as I said earlier, we've grown by 68%. So significantly ahead of market. And our incremental market share, so if I look at net sales in the industry, our incremental market share is just under 10%, which is higher than our equity market share of 9%, which indicates, therefore, that we should see some more increase in our market share as we go forward. We've had a very strong focus on building equity, of course, but also alternate assets. Our PMS AUM has doubled year on year to just under 4,200 crores. We launched our first AIF. We mobilized about 600 crores in our first AIF. And our AUM from smaller cities, the B15 cities, has actually grown by 54% year-on-year versus an industry growth of 39%, which again means we've been gaining market share in the smaller cities. A lot of this growth has been underpinned by a very strong performance track record over 1 year, over 3 years, over 5 years, over 10 years. You can look at any time period. You know, our AMC has been really strong in terms of performance across asset classes, whether it's hybrid, debt, or equity. If I move now to slide 22, the top left, you will see the strong growth in assets under management. You know, we've grown about 1.6 times in 8 quarters, so that's just under doubling our AUM in 2 years' time. A very significant growth, as you can imagine. The top right chart shows you our mix change and especially what equity AUM is like. So we used to have 23% of our domestic AUM in equity in Q2 of FY16. That's now up to 31%. So that's a pretty significant jump in a market that's growing pretty rapidly. And that puts us now amongst the larger players in terms of equity in the market in which we operate. The bottom left chart will show you the growth of our total market share, you know, of total AUM. That's grown from 10.2% 8 quarters ago to 10.7% this quarter. And the growth of our equity market share from 7.4% in Q2 16 to 9% in Q2 18. And finally, the bottom right chart, which gives you the B15 market share, which has grown from 7.6% 2 years ago to 9.1%, you know, at the end of September 17. So in a segment that's growing reasonably quickly, we've gained almost 2% market share. Slide 23 will show you the growth of our retail franchise. This is a very important part of the strategy of our asset management business. We want to grow retail assets. We want to grow high margin assets. And of course, we want to build our presence across the length and breadth of India. What this will tell you is that we've grown our retail folios almost 2 times in the last 8 quarters. So we used to have 2.7 million folios in 2015, September 15. Now that's just under 5 million folios as of September 17. So tremendous growth and tremendous traction in our retail portfolio. The right-hand side of slide number 23 will talk to you about our channel mix. As again, you can see very diversified. That's a theme you'll see across, in fact, the presentation. Whatever we do in a broad-based, diversified manner because we think that's the best way for customers to access us and the best way for us to manage risk. So you see whether banks, IFAs, national distributors are direct, we have a very broad range of channels through which our customers can access us. Let me now move on to our life insurance business, slide number 25. Again, I've given you a long-term history of the growth of this business. And I think the basic headline from this business is that growth is back. If you look at our individual first-year premium, it's grown by 17% Q2 18 over Q2 17, and profit before tax is grown by 18% Q2 18 over Q2 17. There's only one number here that looks slightly off, which is our OPEX to premium number, which if you look at Q2 18, looks like it's slightly higher than Q2 17. I just want to draw your attention to the fact that that's not because of cost, but that's really because of premium, and largely because of our group premium, which has actually slowed a little bit in Q2 18. We expect these numbers to trend back to normal as we go through the year and as our group business, you know, gets back to the growth we expected to. So slide 26 gives you some more numbers, and I want to start first with the right-hand side, which talks about the half-year numbers. So for the half-year 18, our individual premium has grown by 21%, and our profit before tax has grown by 46% in the life insurance business. So as I said, growth is coming back both in terms of top line and bottom line in the life insurance company. The big announcement, of course, in the life insurance business this year, this quarter, is around the traditional EV versus the MCEV. So we have announced the MCEV this year, this time for March 17. The MCEV we've announced is 3,810 crores. This is 11% more than the traditional embedded EV that we declared as of 31st March, so 11% uplift over the traditional EV number. The gross VNB margin under the MCEV approach comes out to about 28.9%, and our net VNB margin is a minus 5.5%, and I'll walk you through some detail on this in the next couple of slides. But the other thing we've been focusing on in our life insurance business is improving the quality of our business and improving our product mix. You will notice that our 13-month persistency has improved year-on-year from 67.7% to 70.4%, so big delta in terms of persistency. That obviously helps EV going forward. We're also focusing on protection. Last year, we had 2% of our business came from protection. As of the end of the first half year, 5% of our business is now coming from protection. And therefore, as we keep moving forward, we expect a larger proportion of our business to come from protection. Building distribution capacity and a balanced channel mix is very important for us in the life business. Our agency continues to be a very strong performer. We continue to be amongst the top 4 or 5 agency players in the market. I mentioned earlier, we've tied up with HDFC Bank under the open architecture regime. They started working with us in July 17. So it's a fairly new relationship. We're expecting to gain traction in this relationship, you know, as time goes forward. As a result of the growth across the platform, especially in the non-agency channels, our non-agency channels now contribute to 31% of our individual new business versus 25% last year. So clearly it's growing faster than the agency business in terms of growth. Just as we spoke about in the asset management business, in the life insurance business, our fund performance has been very strong. All our funds have outperformed the benchmark indices as of March 31st, whether you take a one-year number, three-year number, five-year number. So across the board, we've had very strong performance in the life insurance business. Slide 27 will give you some more details on our life insurance business. The top left will talk about the product mix. So we have about 36% in ULIPs, 64% in traditional products, 5% in protection, as you can see. This is quite different to some other players in the market who have a much heavier ULIP mix. Therefore, you know, our margins tend to be richer than people who have a higher ULIP mix in their business. The top right will give you a sense of the individual new business mix by channel. As I said, we are largely an agency business. 69% of our business comes through agency, but we're getting about 31% now from alternate agency channels. The other two charts here I've already referred to earlier. They talk about our improvement in persistency and the very strong performance that we have on the fund side across the board. You know, whether we talk about debt funds, balance funds, or equity funds versus benchmark, there's a significant outperformance. So let me now move on to the EV numbers. And again, let me remind you, this is March 31st, 2017 EV. So our MCEV number as of March 31st, 2017 is 3,810 crores. This, as I mentioned, is 11% more than our traditional EV that we disclosed earlier. If you look at slide 29, what this will tell you is that last year, so FY17, we had annualized new business premium of 973 crores. Our gross VNB margins under the MCEV methodology was 28.87%. And our net VNB margins after expense overruns was a negative 5.5%. According to us, if we can continue to grow at 12 to 15% with the same kind of product mix that we're currently working with, we believe this net margin minus of 5.5%, we should break even in the next 6 to 8 quarters. So we think we have a path and a clear plan now to be able to continue to add value in the life insurance business. The next three slides are slides that show you the sensitivity of the EV and the VNB to various factors. I'm not going to walk you through each of the three slides, but basically the EV and VNB are sensitive to basically two things. One is to interest rates, a drop in interest rates because we have guaranteed products. And the second thing they're sensitive to is lapse rates or surrender rates. What we've done in our own portfolio is actually hedged out our interest rate risk. So although this calculation will show you that we are susceptible to interest rate risk, we have taken the step to actually hedge ourselves and therefore don't have any, you know, don't have too much of interest rate risk open in our portfolio. We are open to lapse rates obviously moving adversely, but we think we've got a whole plan in place to be able to deal with that. Let me now move finally to other financial services businesses, and I want to talk about start talking about first our health insurance business. As I said earlier, this is a joint venture with MMI of South Africa. We believe in this business. We have a completely differentiated business model compared to anything that exists in the market. We have obviously have a hospitalization product, which is also slightly different to what you'd find from other people in the market. But in addition to that, we have incentivized wellness and a chronic benefit program, all of which makes us quite unique in the market in terms of our offering. In the first half of 2018, we've written a gross premium. This business, let me remind you, started in November of last year. So really, we are still in the very initial stages of the build-out of this business. But even in spite of that, in the first half of this year, our gross premium is just under 100 crores. So 96 crores of business written in the first 6 months of this year. And we've covered over 6 lakh lives in this six-month period. So if I just take you back to some of the standalone health insurance companies that exist in this country today and go back to their start, I don't think anybody in their first year or even, you know, would have had this kind of traction in terms of either premium written or in terms of lives covered. So I think you need to get that perspective in terms of the scale of the business that we're building relative to some of the other players we're competing with in this market. Our market share of fresh gross premium is today, at the first half of this year, is already at 2%, and we're still building out capacity. So if you look at the capacity we're building today, we have 10,000 agents in our business. We had 8,800 agents as of September. We're now up to about 10,000 agents in this business. We have already got 5 banker tie-ups, including HDFC Bank, in this business. Again, 5 banker tie-ups is a big asset to have in a health insurance business, especially when you look at the competition who we are working with. And we have a phenomenal network that we've built with over 3,000 hospitals across 465 cities, which would probably give us one of the largest provider networks, not just at this point in time, but if you compare to any of the people who started out, this would be a fairly significant network to create so that our customers can access our hospitals across the length and breadth of this country. The other thing we've done and focused on in this business is really focused on digital. It gives us the benefit of giving much better customer experience, much more scalability, and of course will give us cost efficiencies as we go forward. So 65% of our retail business actually is issued through the digital mode in our health insurance business. So we are very excited about this opportunity. We think this is a segment that will grow fast, and we think we are very well placed to capitalize on the opportunity that will exist in this segment. I'll now move on to my last slide, which is slide 35, talking about 4 other businesses in our financial services table. I'll start with our general insurance advisory business, which has again been a strong performer over the many quarters that we've been discussing it with you. Premium placement here has grown by 35% to almost 780 crores, much faster than the industry. So we're now about 2% market share in this industry. It's a fragmented industry, and 2% market share actually means we're a top 5 player in this industry. Last year, same time, we would have had a market share of about 1.5%. Our quarterly revenue in this business was up 40% year on year, and we had earnings before tax of about 11 crores from our general insurance advisory business. Our broking business, which is stock broking and commodity broking, has achieved its highest ever quarterly profit this quarter of 3.1 crores. So since we acquired this business, this is the highest quarterly profit we've had. So we believe that this business is now getting traction as more and more people are participating in the market, and as volumes rise, you know, we're seeing the benefit from that. Our business, by the way, our broking business is a pure fee-based broking business. You know, very little that we get from lending compared to many other broking businesses that have a large chunk that comes from actually lending. Focus here largely is on online volume and revenue, which accounts for about 60% of our volume. In the private equity space, we managed 2 funds. We had about 1180 crores that we raised under these 2 funds almost 7 years ago. These funds are now maturing and coming up for closure. So we're actually winding down some of these assets and getting ready to actually raise our 3rd fund. And the last business I want to just refer to is our personal finance management business, which is called MyUniverse, where we have over 4.1 million registered users. This, I can just remind you, many of you know about this business. It's really an online platform that allows our customers to come on board, aggregate their financial information in one place, get advice, and ultimately transact on an open architecture platform. So that's really the entire walk through our businesses and the numbers for Q2. I know I have rushed you through this because we wanted to leave enough time for Q&A. So maybe I can stop now and open the floor for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. First question is from the line of Avinash Singh from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions. First, on your NBFC, so what amount of intra-group loan and what's the capital adequacy ratio? And related to that, what's the incremental borrowing cost? Of course, we can see that borrowing cost has been coming down, but what has been the incremental borrowing cost in the Q2? So these are the questions related to NBFC. On insurance, on the health side, what's the breakup between your retail and group health? And on life, I mean, despite your product mix being a traditional heavy, still the cost overrun looks significant. What explains that? Thank you.
So, Sanjay, you'll answer the first question, then you get Mayank and Amit to answer.
So the capital adequacy for NBFC is 17.7%, and which is divided with Tier 1 being at 14.1 and Tier 2 being 3.6%. As far as incremental cost of borrowing is concerned, it is broadly in the same range as Q2, which is around 7.8%.
Yeah, so our mix is about 17-18% is retail, and it's growing. Like in first quarter, it was about 7% of our new business. In quarter two, it has actually increased to 32% of the new business. So retail is where our focus on, and we are growing that quarter on quarter.
So currently, retail is about 17-18% or close to 80% to be group.
Yeah, and in Q2, it was 32% of the business that we wrote.
So in Q2, retail was 32% of the total business we wrote.
Okay, okay. And one question related to NBFC, that intra-group loan amount.
So that's very small. If you're talking about loans to the Birla Group, is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
That will be less than 1%, I think, of our portfolio.
Okay, very clear. So now that the last question on that life insurance, your product mix is traditional heavy. You have got a scale. Still, the cost overruns are significant. So a bit color on that.
Yeah, so in terms of the overruns, if you see, ours is a more agency-driven business. So what we are playing out is the operating leverage and expense overruns are coming down very fast. And the visibility which Ajay gave to you was a function of both our VNB going up and expense overruns coming down.
I think you need to look at the
trajectory of this mix of products, right? I mean, if you look back 3-4 years ago, you would have still had a fairly large ULIP mix. So it takes a while for the traditional product to actually play through, which is what we're seeing. That's why I think the path I'm able to describe to you with the 70-30 mix is because we think that the benefit of the 70% traditional actually plays through.
Again, ULIP has come back. The new ULIP has come back in fashion. And again, if you were to sell ULIP, it will again lead to sort of a cost overruns and with the kind of a ULIP coming back, and if you were to change your product mix, still you hope that break even to be achieved in the next 6 to 8 quarters?
No, so I said relative, you know, we have to obviously manage our product mix. That's a key part of the sensitivity. But, you know, even in a market that many players are driving ULIP mix fairly, fairly significantly, we are still driving our ULIP mix within this 30 to 35% range, and we're quite confident we'll be able to keep it there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you have a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question on the housing finance business. If you look at the growth in the housing finance business last few years is very strong, and especially YOY comparison with the quarter 2 FY 17 to this year. Now, but the profitability of this business, whether it is cost-to-income ratio, overall earning before tax number, is quite weak compared to the peers in the market. So, we can understand we are scaling up this business, but at the 5,700 crores of book, we should have a reasonable amount of profitability also. So, what is our thought process on this?
So we are in the investment phase at this point in time. So if you look at, we have been building and increasing the distribution. So, and that is one of the reasons why our profitability is slightly lower. As Ajay had mentioned earlier, in the 5 years of operations, we are looking at 1.3% of ROA and 13 to 14% of ROEs. So that's what our plan is. So if you look at last quarter also, we have invested in the affordable housing setup. So we have hired people who have been getting into the affordable housing segment because we think that's a huge opportunity which the market provides us.
Okay, and secondly, on the lending book of 5,777 crores, what is the total provisioning we have done on that standard and the NPA provisioning total put together?
Six crores.
Oh, that is in this quarter. Cumulative figure, how much, sir?
Manish, we'll get you that number and send it to you.
Okay, and second question on the, again, life insurance business side.
Manish, I don't know, I think we should try and get other questions if we can come back to you because we have 200 people on the call.
Okay, sir, thank you.
So, we'll come back to you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Arshay Sai from Valium Capital. Please go ahead.
As you all know, in your health insurance business, what is your loss ratio, what is your expense ratio like, and what percentage of your health insurance book is personal accident policies?
We have not, to answer your last question, we haven't launched our retail fixed benefit. We have launched our group fixed benefit, which will be about 5 to 6% of our overall business at this stage. As far as loss ratios are concerned, you know, since the book is primarily group at this stage, the loss ratio there is at 102-103%. And in the retail side, it is less, you know, about 42-43%.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Sohail Alai from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, just some clarity on your NBFC lending book. While you have given the breakup in terms of project loan and structured finance, can you share like which are the sectors, or major sectors that contribute this?
So I think it's a very diversified book. Like I've been saying right through the presentation, our view is always to diversify. So, you know, we don't have any one exposure to any one sector as well. It'll be a very broad-based range of sectors.
So any color like top five sectors would contribute to?
Transportation would be 20%.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Sir, you're not audible. Can you come a little closer to the phone, please?
Transportation and logistics would be around 20%. Then renewables would be around 16%. And manufacturing would be around 10%.
Okay. And so in terms of basically NPAs are very low, but is there any other forms of restructuring or anything done or is pending?
No,
we don't have any restructuring.
Okay. And so what is your outlook in terms of growth in this book, given basically even the PSU banks may participate in some of the growth in coming years?
So, you know, I think this whole PSU thing is still work in progress. We don't know how it's going to actually play out. So I think it's a little early for us to take a call on that. But we've been saying we're seeing good traction overall. I'm not talking about any particular segment. But overall in our lending book, we're continuing to see traction. We think we should be able to grow in the near term 30-35%. And over the long term, as our base becomes bigger, maybe that will come down to 25-30%. But that's still a very good growth opportunity that we see in this business.
And sir, do we do any sell downs in this book?
Yes, we do.
And so what would be that?
So, selling down, huh?
Okay. And that would go into your fee income, right?
That's right. Fee and capital gains, yeah.
Okay. And so finally, in terms of what is the total...
The operator, so maybe requested to join you.
Just last data keeping question. What would your counter-cyclical provisions on this book overall?
This quarter, we've created a provision of about 15 crores in this quarter.
Yeah, but cumulative number, can I have that?
I don't have the number right now. I'll give it to you.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of the Dipen Seth from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking this question. I just had a specific question on, the risk on this 39,000 crore loan book that you have in the NBFC. And the way I see it, it will become apparent when I tell you the question, which is that you have a significant exposure to the large corporate and mid-corporate segment, which itself is more than half the book. Now, I'm assuming that all the companies here would have access to debt from banks in any case. That's the kind of borrowers that you are lending to. So it would be interesting to know whether you can share some kind of a rating mix for the profile of people that you've lent to in these two segments, especially because I'm seeing stuff like named products like, you know, structured finance, project loans. So it would be interesting to know what kind of rating mix is involved here in the people who are borrowing from you, and if there is any industry mix that you can share here.
So industry mix we don't have offhand, and again, rating, some of these would be rated, some of them would be unrated. But I would broadly say that we are dealing with, you know, investment grade. If your question is really whether we're going down the credit chain and looking to build business where other people are not providing credit, that's not the case. These are all highly bankable transactions, and it just shows in the NPA history that we've had. Again, you know, I think you should look at the context of the quantum of, you know, book that we're looking to build versus the quantum of opportunity in the market. So a lot of this bogey about PSUs coming and everything, you know, everything going to them, I think that's a long time to play, and we'll have to wait and watch how those dynamics play out. We are very bullish, and, you know, this is in a cycle where we really haven't seen capital expenditure picking up. As CapEx picks up, and maybe the PSU recap actually triggers that, which should lead to greater economic growth and which should actually help build momentum across the spectrum. We are actually very positive about what this means for the economy and what it means for people like us.
Fair point, fair point. If I may ask one more question, in your housing finance company, I can see the presence of this product LAP all over again. So I wanted to know if the LAP that we lend out from the NBFC and the LAP that we lend out from the housing finance company, are they different in terms of either the regions that these businesses operate out of or the kind of profile that we lend, ticket size, risk appetite? How are these products different?
So in terms of risk appetite, it's no different. In terms of the ticket sizes, and it's much more granular and much more retail in the housing finance company. And primarily we do it through direct channels and all. So that's how we really build the difference between the NBFC and
Okay, so your NBFC LAP, if I may say, is also centered around the retail and SME slices in any case, right?
Yeah.
So is it safe to assume that the LAP given out by the housing finance company is even lower ticket size than what is happening in retail and SME here?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
It's lower ticket dependent. It's also in more geographies. The housing finance is slightly more present in different geographies.
Yes, of course.
So even the geographic spread is slightly different to what we have in the NBFC.
Okay, fair point. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dipen.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you share some color on the mix of the home loans, the pure home loans, in terms of self-employed, salaried, and average ticket size?
So, Rohan, 75% of our book is self-employed.
Okay. And so, what would be the average yield that would be charging for the self-employed segment?
Will range depending on the credit grade, so anywhere between 9 to 9.5.
Okay. And sir, like in terms of the NBFC book, how are we classifying the large corporate and mid corporate in terms of the turnovers?
Yeah, largely turnover based. We have to use some judgment in some cases as well, because it's not always obvious, but yeah, broadly turnover.
Yes, yeah, so what would be the cutoff for classification, sir, in terms of turnover?
2,500 crores is more than 2,500 is large.
Yeah.
So more than 2,500 is large.
Okay.
And about 500 to 2,500 will be mid-com.
Okay, and SME would be 50 to 500 or?
No, it'll be probably halfway through that range. It doesn't go all the way to 500, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Sure. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Baid from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Your other income has gone up from 10 crores last year in the September quarter to about 50 crores in this quarter. If you can elaborate on that, what has contributed to this?
Sorry, which business are you talking about, Sandeep?
I'm looking at the consolidated numbers. In consolidated numbers, the other income has gone up from 10 crores to 50 crores.
So that's a So, you know, we got an infusion from Premji Invest, 700 and odd crores, which was invested for, you know, till the time we used it for capital. So that's the income on that.
But will that not come under interest income?
It's an investment in mutual funds, right? So it's not necessarily
income. Okay, so. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from KM Visaria Family Trust. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. Giriraj Daga, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello team. My first question related to our housing finance book. We mentioned that project finance would like to take to 20%. What about LAP? Like, are you okay with 30% or you want to grow or you want to cut down this number?
Ideal product mix which we are targeting is 60% home loans, 20% retail LAP, and 20% construction finance.
20% retail and 20% construction. Okay, that's a related question there. Like as of now, also when we look at the mix, it's right now in favor of like high yielding assets. And when I look at the core home loan product also, we are 75% self-employed. Still, we are guiding about a low number in terms of ROA and ROE 5 years down the line also. Any particular reason?
So, if you look at, we are targeting, as I mentioned earlier, once we get cost efficiency and scale, today our cost income ratio is 78%. In the 5 years, we are looking at, in the next couple of years, we will bring it down to 50% and in a year later to around 40%. Once we get a scale and efficiency, our ROA and ROEs will look, as Ajay had mentioned earlier, we are looking at in the range of 13 to 15% ROE, which translate into 1.3% of ROA.
That's what my question, like it looks low on a 5 year scale also. If your product mix is on a bit of higher, little riskier than a normal core home loan product.
So if you look at majority of our home loans in the prime housing segment, and also the developer which we target, they are primarily category A and upper end of the category B developers. So I think we look at the best in terms of the customer segment point of view.
Okay, my last question is on the capital. So what kind of capital requirement are you building in remaining half of FY18 and FY19? And if you can break down which businesses you'll be taking that.
Sorry, can you just repeat the question?
Capital requirement for second half now, yeah. And capital requirement for FY19.
So we don't have a clear capital requirement for this year yet because, you know, the growth numbers can vary a little bit as we enter third quarter, fourth quarter. But broadly, we think we've got adequate funding, you know, to fund our short-term capital needs at least. FY19, again, will depend on the growth of our business. We need money for our NBFC, for our HFC, and for our health insurance business. Roughly, we think about 1,000 crores is what we'll require next year.
1,000 crore. And if you have broad breakup, maybe?
I can give that to you separately.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on the quarter. Most of my questions have been answered. I just had a couple of technical questions on the NBFC front. Firstly, in our 11.1% yield for this quarter, what would be the breakup between pure yield and fee income? Because I note that it includes processing fees also.
So the yield is around 11%. 40 basis point is the processing fee.
Okay, that's
basis
it.
Basis points to be precise.
And has that processing fee number kind of remained constant over the last few quarters? So
it's
more or less
in the same range.
Okay, so in the last two quarters, because the yields have gone from 11.7 to 11.1, that's a pure yield compression.
Yeah, but the cost of funds has also come down in the...
Yes, fair point. Yeah. So, sir, what would be the mix between our floating and fixed rate loans?
So, barring our term loans, which is in the retail segment, which is business loan, personal loans, majority of the loans will be floating rate loans.
Asset side or liability?
So,
asset side. No, asset side, yeah. And what would our incremental yield in this segment be?
So it will be similar, in the similar line. I think our incremental yields will be in the similar range.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Rishabh Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to reaffirm your guidance in the housing finance company. You said in the next 5 years or 5 years once it started, these ROE and ROA numbers is what you're guiding for?
5 years from inception, which is October 14.
Okay, so this is basically mid-FY19. Okay. And in terms of you know, NBFC, you know, 35% to 40% growth in the short term is what you've guided for. Don't you think your capital requirement will run out in Q4? You know, latter half of Q4 or you know, beginning of Q1, in which case capital raise will have to be done at the end of FY18.
Yeah, which is why I said I think it depends on the growth rates, where we end up. At this point in time, we think we are well funded. We'll take a call as the growth comes through. We'll take a call on what we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Dole from Trivantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. In your opening remarks, you had mentioned something about the digital initiatives, which is causing some kind of a pressure on the ROAs. Can you please elaborate a bit as to how, what's the budgeting on that side, and for how long are these costs going to get factored in into our financials?
So we are building an online digital capability to reach out to the MSMEs and the consumer segment, and that's the investment. We are in an investment phase, and we are building the capability. So this year, if you look at Q2, the expense was 12 crores, and for the H1, it's around 22 crores. I think by next year, we should start looking at getting returns from this business as we build the scale here. We are already acquiring a decent number of customers through the online journey. So next year, we should start seeing returns from this business as well.
So this is an end-to-end digital capability we are building so that customers can access us online and we can decision it online.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anisha Porwang from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations for the quarter, sir. Of the large and mid-corporate in NBFC, you said it covers more than 50% of the book. So, and these large corporates are somewhere, you know, like you define them as 2,500 crore and above. So, I just wanted to understand what is the, you know, like, is there any impact when some corporates of, or a have, having a common exposure to you and the bank, and these loans are, getting classified as NPA in the books of the bank. So how does it impact our book in the sense, how does it, or is there any overlap? Does it happen that when the divergence report of banks or RBI report classifies them as NPA, we also have a similar kind of provision for them in our books?
No, I mean, we have to provide based on our experience with us in our book, and that is what is reflecting in our accounts.
But the only difference is that you are referring to large corporate borrowers. So we are, when we talk about large corporate, we talk about a large corporate group. So there could be special purpose vehicles where it could have been. So it is not necessary that, you know, we don't have any of those square accounts which you are referring to.
Okay.
And, you know, as part of our whole risk management process, anyway, we track the SMA and, you know, what happens on CIBIL. We do a whole host of other checks in any case on a risk management side. So we will obviously be alerted if there's a problem in anywhere else. But really, our NPA has to reflect on what's on our books, and that is what we're reflecting in our accounts. And we don't see any problem in that book at all.
Okay, thanks. That's it from my side. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan for his closing comments. For any further query and details, please get in touch with Pramod Bohra or Romy Talwar. Over to you, sir, for closing comments.
Yeah, so thank you very much for joining this call. As I said, this is our first earnings call since our listing. Very glad to have over almost 200 people on this call. So thank you very much for your interest and your questions. If any questions have been left unanswered for any reason, please do get in touch with us. Pramod Bohra's contacts are available with you. We'll be very happy, very, very happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your line.